It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study of the book of Acts, we've been studying about how that Peter and John were preaching the Word of God to the people, and how that they were thrown in jail because of preaching to the people. They were preaching Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and resurrected. Well, they got to preach to the people, but now we looked at this last time, how that Peter got to preach to the religious leaders. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 30 through 32, Peter tells them exactly the way it is. He says, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." You see, Peter here takes the opportunity to preach Jesus to the religious leaders. He told them that Jesus, the one they had slain, was raised by God from the dead. And Peter goes on to and tells them that God had exalted Jesus to be a prince and savior, and that Jesus was able to forgive sins. Makes no difference who the person is. Makes no difference how bad they are or even how good they are. They need Jesus as savior. And Peter was telling these men and these people standing around that they needed Jesus Christ, the one whom they had slain, because he is the Son of God. He is God. He is the savior. And he could save even these religious leaders. Well, notice what happened. The results of Peter's preaching was this. The religious leaders were greatly offended. And I believe that they were offended. That means they were convicted in their heart. Acts chapter 5, verse 33, it says, "When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them." And that's another thing. They were not only offended, they discussed killing the apostles. Well, the Word of God is something that, you know, it's hard for any unsaved person to understand. But it works even on the unsaved person, not only on the saved person, because in Acts, or in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." God knows all about us. And the Word of God, when it touches us, when we hear the Word of God, it does something. It helps us to understand, first of all, if we've never trusted Jesus as Savior, it helps us to understand that we need Jesus. We need a Savior, because we're not going to heaven without Him. We need to turn from sin. And the only way you can turn from sin is to ask Jesus to come into your heart. You know, you must be willing to turn from sin, and Jesus will turn you. Jesus is going to help you to understand that you can be holy. And that doesn't mean that you're going to be sinless. You're still in this body, and you're still going to make mistakes. But thank God, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin, past, present, and future. You're on your way to heaven when you trust Jesus as Savior. How do I know that? Because you have eternal life. The Bible tells us that to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of the children of God. God is not going to send any of his children to hell. And don't fall for that trick of the world that says that all people are the children of God. That is not true. God says that his children have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, and they are the ones who are on their way to heaven. Well, notice that the Word of God is quick and powerful, and it will cut to the joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's able to reach down and help that person who's on their way to hell to know that Jesus can save them. And these people, these religious leaders, they were offended at the word, and they talked about killing the apostles, according to Acts chapter 5 and verse 31. Well, once again, we see that the apostles are beaten instead of killed. Now, they wanted to kill him, but they were afraid to kill him. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 34 through 40, it says, "Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, "You men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain. And all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up, Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God." And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Well, guess what? They didn't stop preaching Jesus Christ. And this man said that if it's not of God, it'll come to naught. Well, later on, the Bible tells us that these that had turned the world upside down have come there also. The Christians had turned the world upside down. How did they do that? By preaching and teaching Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and resurrected. Well, these religious leaders, they were about to kill the apostles, according to Acts chapter 5 and verse 33. But one of the leaders talked them out of it. And this time, the Jewish leaders wanted to punish the apostles before letting them go. In other words, they said, well, we can't kill them, so let's just punish them. And the Bible says that they beat them, Acts chapter 5 and verse 40. Well, the usual beating consisted of 39 stripes. It's 39 blows of a whip. And once again, they commanded them not to speak in the name of Jesus. Can you imagine being beaten, being hit with a whip 39 times? How these men and women of the early church suffered. And they suffered not only for the Lord Jesus Christ, and they didn't realize it, they were suffering for you and I, that you and I would have the opportunity to hear the Word of God, that we too would know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Well, notice now, after the apostles had been beaten, notice the response that they had. And you read that in chapter 5 and verse 40, they beat them. Well, notice the response to this beating. They rejoiced. Acts chapter 5 and verse 41, "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were accounted worthy to suffer shame for his name." In other words, for the name of Jesus Christ. They rejoiced. And something else, they did not quit preaching Jesus. They were told not to preach, but they did not quit. Acts chapter 5 and verse 42, "And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Well, as the apostles left, once again after they were beaten, their backs no doubt were bleeding from the beating which they had received. And this was the first time the believers had to suffer in a physical way. And once again, as we go into the next chapter, we're going to see the first Christian martyr. The early church had no trouble from within. And that is not true. Some people will tell you that the churches do not have trouble, and the early church did not have trouble, but the early church did have trouble from within. Ananias and Sapphira, remember we talked about that, and they also had trouble from without. The religious leaders were trying to stop these people from preaching, but God was with them and in them. God was building his church. And not even men or demons or Satan himself could stop what God was doing. Matthew 16, 18 says, "And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And I remind you that Jesus was not speaking of Peter being that rock. He was speaking of himself. There is only one foundation of the church, and the foundation I'm speaking of is Jesus Christ himself. He is the foundation, and he is the one who's building his church even today as it was being built back in the early church in the book of Acts as we've been reading. As we've studied so far in the book of Acts, we've seen blessings and we've seen problems arise in the local church. Well, sometimes these problems will bring about an opportunity for the local church to excel in certain ways, and we see this happening back in the book of Acts with the early church. In Acts chapter 6, and verse 1, it says, "In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied," you see, people were getting saved. And we saw on the day of Pentecost, at least 3,000 people got saved. And then the word was preached again, and it says 5,000 men were saved. And that doesn't include the women who got saved as well. So the church was growing. And it says in chapter 6 there, "As the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration." Now, what they're doing here, they're letting someone know that there is a problem and that they have confidence. I believe they had confidence that this problem could be handled. Verse 2, "Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, 'It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables.'" In other words, these men were being used of God to preach the word and to help people grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So they said, it's not something that we should be doing. This is something for someone else to do. Verse 3 says, "Because of this, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." This was going to be done decently and in order. This was being done according to what God was imparting to these men of God as to how to take care of the local church. Verse 4 says, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer." They were not just going to sit around, these apostles, these people who God had called to preach the word here. They were not just going to sit around. They said, "We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." They were going to pray. They pray for the people, and they were going to pray for souls to be saved, I'm sure, and they were going to study the word of God. Verse 5 goes on to say, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude." The multitude, they did not murmur against this. They said this was good. "And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Procurus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Pharmanas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them." And notice what happened now. These people listened to God, and they did what God wanted them to do. And you say, "Well, how do I know that? How do we know that God was pleased with this?" Well, notice verse 7 of chapter 6 of Acts. "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." Not only were the people getting saved, there was a multitude of people getting saved. And not only that, there were priests. The religious people of that day were getting saved. They were listening to what God had to say. Remember, some of these religious leaders were placing the apostles in jail. They were beating them. And now the word of God was reaching them. The word of God touched their hearts, and they knew they needed Jesus as Lord and Savior. Do you know him today as your Savior? If you don't, you need to do what these religious leaders did. They gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed in him. They trusted him as Savior. And you need to do the same today. If you've never done that, ask him to come into your heart right now.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.